They said we could not do it. They said it wasn't possible. But we did it. We created a free radio station to bring the people together and spread an alternative message from the mainstream. They tried to silence us. They tried to hack us. But we carried on. You cannot silence the truth. You cannot enslave freedom. You cannot stop a good idea. You cannot stop Dark City Radio. The crew is now bigger and stronger than ever before. We will not be kept off the airwaves. We will continue. This is not our radio. This is your radio. This is Dark City Radio.
This is your Dark City. This is your Dark City.
This is your Dark City.
This is your Dark City.
This is your Dark City.
This is your Dark City Radio.
Bob's with me this evening. Welcome, Bob.
Hi, Norris. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thanks. You?
Yeah, good. Really good.
Well, the growing conditions have been quite favourable in the Midlands this week. Have they been okay down south?
Oh, they've been amazing this week. Everything's just rushing with energy out the ground.
Fantastic, fantastic. Yeah, everything's looking really, really vibrantly green here as well. We were expecting a cold patch, which I didn't think was going to come, but it has dropped off in about the last hour, and we've had a bit of rain. But apparently we're on for a really hot May, allegedly. So.
May it be hot.
So I've got plenty of seeds coming up as well. Everything seems to be germinating quite well, including the heritage seeds. So I'm chuffed about that because they can be a bit unpredictable. So.
Right, well, I don't know whether you want to talk about that bit.
We can do it. Shall I whip through my tips first?
Cause they're short. All right. What I'll do, Nyrese, I'll let you get on with that for a couple of minutes, and then I'll be back, yeah?
Okie doke, yeah, because I think the seed thing will be a longer conversation. So I'll whip through my tips first.
Lucky you said that right.
Anyway, yes, permaculture tip. Well, actually, I've been doing quite well because I managed to pick up today as an example of what you can just come across and find if you observe your surroundings. I found a fantastic trolley on wheels that's got two great big shelves, wire.
Like a shopping trolley. I guess Norris is gone, but hopefully there was a pound still in the container.
There was a what?
Well, you disappeared and I made an assumption that it was a shopping trolley.
Oh.
And that was still a pound in the...
No, it was like a storage thing, like a school thing, like a wrought iron frame on wheels, and then it's got two big wire sort of, you know.
It's like a cage for children.
could be. My 2-year-old wasn't that impressed that I decided to wheel it back from the school back home. She was going all the way back. I don't want to take the trolley. It's going to be great for the seedlings. Be fantastic, yeah. So, you know, I've got that now. I could even make it into a little mini greenhouse because I've got some clear plastic. So that was my good permaculture find. I've also made a little cold frame out of we got an old guinea pig run.
Old windows are good for that, Norris. If somebody's ripping windows out, they just landfill them with the glass. You just...
Oh, shocking. Shocking, I know. Well, this guinea pig run, we just got... It's literally just things I'd already got because I'd also got some polystyrene. So I glue gunned that into the sides and then put some... what they're called, you know, storage heating bricks at the bottom. So I've got a load of stuff in there. And I also came across, oh, it's a fantastic channel on YouTube. It's called Beltane Cottage. I don't know if you've seen it. It's a lady in
Ireland.
Oh, I did post a film of hers a few weeks back about on her raised beds. She's got a lovely garden there. Really beautiful. She's been, you know, just talking about using what you've got. She's been making these beds where she didn't have soil that was immensely great. She's literally just been putting mulch in there and shreddings, you know, shredding everything, putting it in there and then sitting things in there in open bottom pots in obviously compost there. And it seemed like a great system. Everything was thriving in there. And then obviously once, you know, you've been doing that for a while, it will actually start to break down. So, you know, it's a really, really low maintenance system, isn't it? Sort of a compost heap and a growing bed combined. So I was quite
interested. I mean, in theory, you can put raw compost straight in the ground anyway. If you're putting potatoes in, it's quite often good to put kitchen waste right under where you're going to put the seed potatoes, because they're like a first crop, aren't they? They develop the ground.
Exactly. Yeah, well, that is another method, isn't it, actually? Because when I talked about no dig, and perhaps when you are preparing ground in the first instance, you will need to sort of double dig. But that is actually more of a permaculture option. I've done that in the front where just dig out a massive trench and then put some, you know, paper, cardboard for your carbon, green clippings, that kind of thing, and then cover it over. And then, again, it's another low maintenance kind of thing. In fact, I was chatting to a lady as well last week, because I did that permaculture course last week. It was the first one I've ever done. It went really well.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, I was really chuffed. I mean, I ran it with Felipe. He wasn't totally solo, and he's very experienced. So, you know, but yeah, everyone who said they were going to come came, and so it was pretty cool. And I also managed to provide for that one. We can make up whole salads now here, which I'm really chuffed about, is what we grow. Because I've got some cut and come again stuff. Some cut and come again stuff that I overwintered outside, uncovered, that's cropping from now. And then we've got some dandelions and some landcress. I've got some chard from up at the community allotment, because they've got some in the polytunnels. That's doing really well. And then there's a load of flowers, because that stuff I use for ground cover, the violas, they're edible flowers. Daisies are edible. And I got a load of primroses. So, yeah, it made up a nice little salad. It's chuffed.
Yay. You put dandelions in.
I put some little dandelion leaves, yeah. I didn't put too many because they can be a little bit bitter, can't they?
Yeah, and they're diuretic as well.
So. Yeah. So, and I will, I'm keeping an eye on the flower heads there. There's not quite enough around yet that are in places where they're not getting.
Well, dandelion flowers, they're prolific here at the moment. They're just really, really coming out.
Yeah, I'm in an urban environment, so.
So are we.
There's a lot of places that are polluted that I can't pick from. And my garden is small, so. I reckon, well, basically what I'm trying to say.
Well, I think, you know, as far as dandelion's concerned, their only threat round here is my little granddaughter. And they got no chance. You know, it's a flower, so it's getting picked.
So, well, I'm going to make some syrup once I can gather together. You need 50 heads to makes about one jar. So.
Of dandelion syrup?
Yeah. Well, that's the recipe I'll go off anyway.
I've always fancied dandelions in batter. I thought that might be quite a nice thing. A sort of very light tempura sort of batter.
Yeah, that's a good idea, because they do it with elderflowers, don't they?
I don't know.
Yeah, obviously, I've never tried it myself, but I've seen it done with elderflowers, so I suppose it'd be a similar kind of, yeah, that's a good idea.
Okay, well, that's the mission before next week then. Deep fry,
yeah,
tempura batter, dandelion flower head.
Definitely, okay. I'm up for the challenge.
Cool, right, that's the mission then.
Excellent. So, yeah, what time? Right, okay, so I've got a couple more tips. A couple of the ones with slugs. I saw...
they good in batter as well.
Oh, no. I did see a show with Hugh Fearnley Whittingslow where he did cook some slugs up to eat. And, oh, it was gross, though, because they were just washing them and there was just endless slime. Just seemed never-ending.
We got a few people here with slug phobia, so maybe you ought to leave the slugs.
No, I wouldn't eat a slug.
If you were hungry enough, you would.
Well, the thing is, Bob, you know, I've been looking around today and at what's coming up, and, you know, there's so much stuff you can eat, isn't there? I mean, there's chickweed coming up all over the place. That's edible. And the more you learn about plants, you can pretty much eat most plants, can't you really, you know? And if you've got a system going there where everything's working in harmony and you've got a spiral happening, then it is constant, you know, once you've established that kind of system. So theoretically, you should never have to eat slugs.
Yeah, but it's working out the balance for you, isn't it?
Well, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe in some people's balance, that might be a good supplement to your diet. I mean, people eat all sorts of weird things right around the planet, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, witchy grubs.
I'd rather eat a fried grasshopper than a fried slug.
Yeah. It's
deep fried.
No, I don't think I could eat one. I have got a friend that's really into nutrition, so if I chat to him, I know he's fantastic with facts. He'll go away and find out the nutritional value.
He'd probably say that they're, you know, best done marinated with a bit of garlic and chilli, cooked on the barbecue quickly, and then crunchy.
Yeah,
I think Hugh Fearnley Whittingslow was a fry up in butter, and then I think they served them on lettuce in an ironic way, you know.
I don't know. It's kind of hard to trust him because he's an immigrant. He didn't really come down here, and you know, he wasn't born here.
Yeah.
He just moved in a few years ago.
No, I think, yeah.
He brings all this weird home county ideas with him.
Yeah. I was just pondering on that. Sorry, my brother works in Waterstones. I was just wondering if they've ever had him in. Like, you get really good insight on what these people who put themselves out there are actually like. I'll have to ask him.
Maybe he went in on a book signing.
You know, most sort of people in that famous realm tend to be
different.
Turn out to be different, generally. Although apparently Michael Caine is a really, really nice man.
Yeah, unless you blow the doors off. He's not so happy, is he?
No, generally not. So anyway, my solutions with slugs, right, is Vaseline. So sort of thing, what they're doing is they're again planting in pots, sinking the pots in, open bottom pots, and then putting Vaseline around the edge of the pot. So I think I'm going to try that one because currently at my allotment, the slug greed ratio is out of whack, and I tend to lose quite a bit if I don't get up there for a couple of days. So I'm going to have a go with that one, I think, see how I got on there. So.
Do you know how slugs come into being, Nyrese?
Well, I mean, I did you post that footage of the leopard slugs mating the other week? Did you see that?
No, seriously though, they kind of lay eggs in the soil. If you've dug up soil to put in a pot and it's got a few slug eggs in it, it doesn't matter what you do to the edge of the pot. They're already in there. And the same applies with things like green caterpillars and stuff like that as well. I mean, it's amazing how many times I've sort of gone and look at plants that I've grown on. I think, God, they've been eaten. How did that happen? And actually, they come out of the soil that you put the plants in.
Definitely. I think it's always worth checking, you know, whenever you bring any plants in from anywhere else, whether you bought them or been given them, it's always good to check the have a little look at the soil and the roots, because you can often bring things in that way as well, can't you?
Well, mostly you don't see the eggs, do you, in the soil?
No. I think
so it's a question of just, you know, keeping an eye on the soil. And slugs, when they come out of eggs, are really, really tiny. I've got a little helper here who's saying garlic spray. So there's a thing, garlic spray and Vaseline. I don't know if you need to mix them together or whether they're...
Yeah, because they don't eat wild garlic, thinking about it, do they?
No.
Seen slugs touch... No, they don't touch wild garlic.
And I've got a whole bunch of tricorn leeks growing out. I think I mentioned this before. And the only thing that eats them is me. The only thing.
Yeah, see, that's they're the kind of plants you want to grow. Yeah, it's like the landcress and the salad bonnet. I never seem to have a problem with anything eating those either.
It's when we introduce these really sweet European and American things that everything stuffs up, isn't it, really?
Yeah, because originally we wouldn't have been competing for the same things. So, and I mean, obviously, if you wanted to go that far, you could actually put sort of a ring of salt on top of the Vaseline if you were engaged.
That is outrageous.
I have used beer traps before, I have to say.
Beer traps. No, I will go with beer traps because...
They drown.
Well, true. They do drown. But whether they get pissed first.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the hope, isn't it?
Yeah, that's probably something I'll have to work on. Maybe I should stop using them because I do feel a bit of satisfaction when I go out in the morning and see like slugs in the beer trap and go, yes,
my yes.
That's wrong, isn't it? Oh, yeah, I'll work on that.
We're all in stitches here, Norris.
Yeah, I'm going to write it down. another good tip. Well, I wanted to talk briefly on this. Again, this could go into a long conversation, but I wonder what you if you use tyres to grow in.
What do I use tyres to grow in?
Tires.
I did have a big truck tyre once, and I tried to grow potatoes in it, and I came to the conclusion that potatoes actually would grow without that. They didn't need it, and I wasn't sure about what the rubber would put into the soil, because it's vulcanised, it's not a natural thing by any means, and it is classed as a dangerous material. You can't dispose of them very easily unless you build an earthship, of course, and that's a whole different discussion that I'd like to get into at one point. But I think at the end of the day, you'd be better off building a wooden, little wooden frame than using car tyres. Yeah. Use them for building, you know. Let's lock up the rubber and, you know, put it into building.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I've got quite a lot of tyres up at the allotment because, again, it was just a thing that was freely available and, you know, very useful in just establishing sort of...
Well, you could use them and, you know, ram earth them and use them as a back wall to a coal frame.
Well, what I was thinking of doing is, because, again, I was watching this Beltane Cottage, her films, and what she's done is gotten on edibles in them. So I think I might go down that route. She was I really love flowering currant. I mean, you can't eat it obviously, but it's a really early pollinator, isn't it? It's really beautiful. It feeds the soul as well, I think, because of the time it flowers, you know. It's really early. And apparently she was saying she roots, you know, cut that one off and it'll root really easily. So there's bramble there, so I think I might establish a sort of a flowering currant and blackberry. Although, I mean, yeah, because there's an EU landfill directive.
Well, I'm not sure whether
I know, on whole
property. We missed the end of the EU. Norris, we missed the end of the EU landfill thing.
There's an EU landfill directive now, and they are classed as hazardous waste. And there's a ban in the UK on whole tyres being sent to landfill. So, I mean, I think it's another split issue because I think they say when they're very new, a lot of stuff will leach out then. But again, if they're very old, you'll tend to get stuff leach out then. And I mean, I looked up some of the stuff they're made with, and there's a lot of known carcinogens in there, and solvents. And God, I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce these things. I'll put a link on this for YouTube. So, and I think as well, if you grow acid foods in there, that tends to sort of activate these things to gas off. Is the term, I think. So yeah, I mean, I don't know, reading between the lines, I don't think it's a massive issue, but I think I would tend to give a good wash and maybe sort of seal them perhaps with some non-toxic paint or stain or something along those lines. It's a hard one for me to give up because they're so easily available and so useful, so It's a bit tricky. But in a selfish way, I am on top of the hill, so everything will run off. Which is a bit selfish, but so do my nutrients. So, you know, it's a double-edged sword.
Actually, well, that's how we got farm runoff in the waterway, isn't it?
Yeah. God knows.
Too many nitrates.
With everything out. Oh, I know. Horrific. Awful.
I think really the best way to view it is that if you are runoff off your land, it's got to be the best runoff into your neighbours that you can possibly produce, isn't it? You really need to, you know, help each and every one of us. That has to be the first rule of permaculture, doesn't it?
Well, of course, it's all connected, so you can't, you know, you have to treat everything as if it were, you know, well, it's all part of the web. So yeah, I think they might be building houses at the back of the allotment, which is a bit of a worry with what might go into the soil. I'm just looking into that one. And another thing I wanted to ask you about, Bob, was have you come across the Big Dig, the government initiative?
Have I come across any government initiative?
No, it's called the Big Dig.
No.
It's like a gardening initiative. There's a number of authorities, local authorities, signed up to it. Birmingham signed up to it this year. I don't know. I've been to a couple of meetings and things, but, I'm not entirely convinced.
Well, first of all, put a link up. That'd be good. Secondly, if it's government initiated, it probably has a hidden agenda. And that's why it's probably not feeling good with you.
I actually went to a meeting on Birmingham City Council, held this sort of consultation on how sustainable Birmingham could be and if Birmingham could provide its own food. And they had a couple of people sort of handpicked to stand up and talk, and one of them who is running the initiative, I'll put links because I can't remember her name, but she's from a foundation called the New Optimists Foundation, which was quite funny because she stood up and told us how there was no way Birmingham could be self-sufficient in food.
Well, they can't,
but, you know, her sort of arguments were very, she was looking at monoculture systems and, you know, there was no kind of looking to alternative systems to provide food. I mean, obviously it can't provide its own food in an entirety, but, you know, there's a lot more that can be done that, you know, is outside the box thinking that, again, I think because it's government, they won't really consider. And they also, she sort of put this on the website, these kind of ideas, and then I put this on about a bit of what we were talking about diversity and why diversity is important and kind of permaculture systems. And I'll have to go back and have a look because my comment, they didn't post my comments, they were pending for ages, which made me a bit suspicious.
Well, that tells you straight away, doesn't it?
Well, it does, but I'm finding it all quite good fun because I've been chatting to them and I've kind of made my position quite clear on how I feel about, you know, the way things should, you know, should be, which is slightly contradictory to what they're saying. But one of these, I'm helping a local church design a garden, and we held, basically because the guy that sort of is there at the church responsible for it wanted to affiliate to the Big Dig, which is fair enough, it's down to him, you know, I was happy to, you know, for him to do that. And we had presence at this event, which was held Birmingham wide, and we actually got the highest attendance for it. I was well chuffed. I don't know if they were, considering I've been a bit of a critic about the whole thing, so it was a bit of a coup, really. I'm looking into that one anyway, shall we say. But, so I suppose we can lead on to the seed legislation stuff now then. That's been quite big news this week. That story's doing the rounds. So did you say you'd seen this, Bob?
No, not at all. I suspect it might be under Agenda 21 and Codex Alimentarius, but...
Well, definitely, yeah. I mean...
Tell us about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's lots of trails to follow there, isn't there? Because I did a little bit of looking into it, and most local authorities, when you have a mooch at what legislation they're passing, you know, when you talk to people and they have this argument about, well, Agenda 21 isn't actually legislation, but when you follow the trails, you know, there is legislation then being put in place off the back of it, and this is a prime example. So this isn't actually passed at the moment. It's a draft document. I think it was drafted in November 2012 by the EU Directorate responsible for Health and Consumer Affairs, whatever the hell that means. So there are changes in regulations on the marketing of plant reproductive material. Seeds, in other words. They're called seeds.
No, but if it's not specifically called seeds, there's a reason why. Plant reproductive material is pollen, is it not?
Yeah.
Okay. And in order to get seeds, you need pollen. So if they, and they can't actually, you know, put a copyright on seeds, but they could on pollen. And it's, I mean, corporations, at the end of the day, they are going to go and bust the world wide open so that they can make as much money as possible.
Yeah. Which, yeah, I think we there's an element of that with GMOs that, you know, obviously once they change the biological structure of those, they can then legally patent them.
That's how they do it.
Yeah.
You know, anything that has a little R in a circle in its name, like Verde, whatever it was that was the broccoli, and Verde, whatever it was that was the salad leaves in co-op salads, had a little R, and it came from a company called Syngenta, which is owned by Monsanto.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you got to watch out for, is the little registration marks. If it's got one of them, don't buy it. And it doesn't matter whether it's a seed, whether it's a ready-grown salad, or whether it's a plant ready in a pot. If it's got a little R, forget it.
Yeah. Well, I think pretty much most commercially available seeds are copyrighted, aren't they?
Well, Monsanto's trying to make sure they are. They've been buying up seed companies for the last 5-10 years.
Yeah.
And they want the monopoly.
Well, this is basically what this legislation is proposing, that they basically want to stop people, gardeners and farmers, obviously, exchanging seeds and growing heritage varieties. What they want is for them all to be licensed, and so you've got to kind of register to use them. I mean, this is one example, Garden Organic, who I've mentioned before, which is local to me in Coventry, so I'm a supporter, I'm a member there. They're amazing, they do such phenomenal work. They've got over 800 varieties of heritage seeds. And if they were to have to pay for a license or however they're going to structure it on these things, on their website, they're estimating at the minute that would cost them £800,000 a year.
Well, from my standpoint, anything that grows naturally is not licensable. And if anyone tries to tell me different, then they got a fight on their hands.
Totally agree, which comes back to seed banks. Everyone should start a seed bank, you know.
Yeah, just collect your favourites, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so, so important. Someone's asking there if there's high street suppliers of non-Monsanto seeds. I think if you go into sort of your local kind of garden centres, they do sometimes have sort of local producers of seed that is organic seed.
The same rule seed applies.
With heritage seed.
If it's got a little R, Nairis.
Yeah.
If it's got a little R, it is an copyright seed.
Yeah.
Right? If it doesn't.
No.
Now, you need to check out the seed suppliers then. So if it says Syngenta, they're owned by Monsanto, so you don't want those seeds.
You've
got to do your own research. You have to.
Chris is asking about Sutton seeds there. I wouldn't buy Sutton seeds. I mean, I have done in the past, but no, they're all produced under licence, aren't they?
By who?
I'm not sure, with some seeds, you know, I'd have to look into it. It wouldn't surprise me if Monsanto have got a hand in there, though, because, I mean, some seeds are one of the biggest suppliers, I would say, in the UK, aren't they?
Well, they're by appointment to the Queen, evidently.
Yes, they are, that's right.
Which
they have that on the back.
Straight away.
Yeah. So, I don't know who mentioned before. Yeah, the Real Seed Company, Carly's saying, yeah.
Real Seed Company is a good one.
Yeah. And Garden Organic, who I mentioned, they're online. You can order from them online. They've got some fabulous stuff. But actual heritage seeds, there's ridiculous legislation covering them currently anyway, because you can't sell them, which is why I'm a member of the Heritage Seed Library, so I pay a membership, and you then get to pick 6 varieties a year. So they do it that way. But I mean, you know, just as it stands, it's crazy. We shouldn't even have to be doing that. I mean, as we were saying earlier, Bob, you know, I totally agree with you. The best way to kind of take a stand about it is just to get on with collecting seed, growing heritage varieties, you know, as is our right. It's not even really a protest, is it? Because it's just our actual natural right to be able to do so. We have got a UK commissioner in the EU that's going to be voting on this draft. I'll put some links up. Her name's Catherine Ashton.
She's going to be well trustworthy then, isn't she?
Well, she's a baroness.
yeah, exactly. At the end of the day, we grow stuff, we harvest it, we collect seeds, we share it with our neighbours.
Mm.
Like, what else? Why does there need to be legislation? I mean, as Barb's is saying, you know, if you're not selling it to make a profit, why does it need legislating? I mean, the dangerous thing is the profit. Therefore, you know, the government needs to legislate against profit. But if you're just trading, giving it away, sharing, there's no reason for legislation. So you guys still there? Oh, and Nairis looks busy.
I'm back.
Oh, you come back. Oh, yeah. Bless you.
I don't know. Did you catch that last bit I said there?
No.
I think there is an element of, you know, wanting to control the food chain and, you know.
An element?
Well, there's the profit side of it, and then there's the other side of it, of the power side of it, of wanting to control the food chain, you know. I think there's the two sides of it there.
I think it's a mass directive in the UN, isn't it? It's called Agenda 21.
Yeah. Well, it's been said down the line. It's been said in history anyway, hasn't it? You know, it's another one of those things that he who controls the food chain controls the people, you know. Yeah.
Well, at the end of the day, it's down to all of us as to whether we let it happen. And, you know, quite frankly, I'm not one for wanting to let it happen.
So that's what I want you to be doing, starting a seed bank. And if anyone wants seeds, I'll send people seeds. It doesn't cost a lot to send people seeds in the post. I've got some really great, I think I was talking about them the other week, those Babington leeks, they're perennial leeks. I haven't grown them before, but I've put some in my allotment. So, you know, if people want seeds, just find me on Facebook. Nerise Titchener, that's my actual name.
Start a page for it, Nerise.
There's the Sandwell and Birmingham Permaculture Group. You can find that on Facebook and get in touch with us through there. Or there's the website.
Just start a specific seed sharing page.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah.
I'll help you with that. That'd be cool.
Okay, yeah, good idea. Yeah, let's do that then.
Seeds are you.
Yeah. Okay, I like it. Right, we'll do that.
All right, well, we'll work on that in the next couple of days.
Yeah, definitely. That's really good idea.
Although the best time, of course, is the autumn for seeds.
It is, although I have found that there's a bit of a, because you know what happens in the spring where most gardeners have this totally unrealistic amount of seeds that they're planning to put on, and then they tend to be left over with loads that after a bit they realise that they're just, you know, it's not possible. So we were completely cleaned out of the seed bank at that event we did in, when was that? I can't even remember. Is it April? No. Anyway, a few weeks back. And then I put the call out and I realised I'd got loads of seeds. I was getting them all on. And other people were just sending them to me and sending them in the post and stuff. So, you know, it was really, really cool. But yeah, that is really something that would be really great to get going. I mean, there's a page like that. Yeah, well, that's exciting. I'm going to write that one down as well. Well, I've got a little book now for lists for when I talk to you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What colour is it?
What, the actual book?
Yeah.
It's a black book, Bob.
Nairis's Black Book of Bob.
Yeah.
Well, we're getting quite a few comments saying that a seed swap page is a great idea.
Yeah,
so we need to get on with this. Let's, you know, use the technology while we got it.
Definitely, yeah.
Because we're not going to have it all the time.
No, and like I say, well, the seed bank I've got here is full. So, and in fact, I've got loads of, see, that's another thing, people should contact me and join that Dropbox I've got, because I've got a great resource folder in there with, there's lots of stuff about how to collect seed and different seeds, you know, tend to need slightly different saving methods. So there's all those resources in there. In fact, I put in there this week, I downloaded that from Garden Organic. There were free it's an A to Z of vegetables, basically. So each one has got a separate PDF all about the care of the vegetables and stuff. So that's a really good resource. So we've got quite a nice little collection going on in there now of various things.
Okay, well, we've got to work out a different way of getting this information available to everybody, because as far as I know, we're not doing the podcasts anymore.
Oh, right.
Which means that the audio file goes out as a torrent.
Mm.
And we're just not on YouTube, so getting all these links across is, I don't actually see how we're going to do it, because the YouTube was a key thing of being able to put all the links underneath the podcast. Now, I can understand why people don't like YouTube.
Yeah.
But, I mean, from my point of view, you know, if you get 20 people listening to your radio show, but you get 100 people look at the podcast, you know, I think that, you know, it's a false way of looking at stuff. Anyway.
Well, I think Prajna's just saying, so they're going out as MP3s, and then eventually on the web page they'll have...
Yeah, but it's... Eventually, it's not good enough. I mean, we're talking about stuff now, and you're suggesting links. I mean, did you want to read it out? Read the link out, just so that it's there.
Which link now?
Well, is it? This is what I'm saying. You know, it's all the things we talk about.
Yeah. There's a few.
You know, at the end of the day, when the podcast comes out, there's a whole great list underneath, isn't there?
Yeah. Well,
right, well, how else are we going to do that?
Well, I mean, there's Facebook. We can put them on. I have got a website, Sandwell and Birmingham Permaculture Group. So we can put it on there. So yeah, I'll have to think. I mean, there are some places we can put it out there. So.
Well, I hope so, but it needs to be, you know, the same place everyone goes all the time. Mm. It can't be, hey, look, if you want to know this, you've got to go over there. If you want to know that, you go there. If you, you know, it's not going to work, is it?
Well, I mean, there is a forum on our website. I'll put it on there, but I haven't really kind of had the time or energy to sort of get it going used forum, so there is the option of kind of utilizing that for stuff, so we could do that. Oh, we've only got 9 minutes left. I haven't even I was supposed to be talking about permaculture design tonight.
No, that's next week.
Yeah, it'll have to be. I'm going to get told off by my mum again because I wanted to chat to people about kind of what they, you know, what they're growing in their gardens and stuff.
Oh, bless you, Nyreese's mum. Unfortunately, we only have an hour.
Yeah.
And each time, because it's organic, and I hope you realise that, we just float.
Yeah.
And hopefully Nyreese will be coming on with me tomorrow on the Resistance News. And Nyreese will be doing the same to me as I do to her.
Excellent.
I'm sure.
Yes, cool. What was your topic for tomorrow, Bob?
Eco-side.
Yes. Well, that's certainly a big subject.
Yeah, it's going to be a difficult one.
Mm.
It is going to be a difficult one, but I'd just love to have the chat with you, really.
Yeah. Excellent.
I was going to go to a live event and do an outside broadcast, but I think everything that needed to be said. Sorry, I'm advertising my show now.
Yeah, that's quite
all right. Nyreese, you carry on with yours.
These are the edges, Bob. Remember what we were talking about, diversity and everything. They're the edges where things meet. They're the proper bits.
Coastal region.
Yeah, exactly. They're the most diverse bits. That's the whole point. So, well, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I don't want to start touching on, perhaps we'll have a chat about design next week then. I was going to talk a little bit about acronyms, you know, which is a way of working out kind of your elements of permaculture design. So, yeah. I may have a guest.
That would be a good thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Acronyms for chemicals.
Yeah, yeah. You could do.
You've totally pulled me off my thread. I think that's a good idea because, I mean, you know, putting aside synthetic chemicals, natural chemicals, it's good to know what's useful.
Yes.
You know, I mean, how many people really know?
Not many.
You know, about putting nitrogen in the soil, potassium, phosphates. How many people know, you know, a natural way to do that?
Yeah. Oh, actually, that's a little, I forgot to mention that one in my tips earlier. I was chatting to a lady who, she was saying she uses grass as a fertiliser. You know, she makes a feed from it, the same as you would do with comfrey or nettles. I've never heard of that before, but she was saying that works really well. I don't know what kind
of lawn grass type grass.
Yeah. When she mows the grass, she just, you know, same as you would in a tub covered with water. So that's an intro. I'll have a look into the nutrient value on that.
Yeah, yeah. Because I would have thought that would have been really acidic.
Yeah, I know. Bizarre. I'll have a mooch into that one for next week as well, because I have heard people say before, you know, that they've used it as a mulch when sheep mulching because it was what was available to them. So yeah, that's another one to pursue.
Maybe she lives in a really chalky area, so it'd work.
Yeah, could be. Yeah, where was she? She was down south somewhere.
Well, I know when you're making your own compost you should not put in layers and layers of grass, so
yeah. Well, again, it's like everything else, isn't it? It has to be a balance. When I dug that trench out the front, I was talking about earlier, I did put some grass in there, but it was, you know, I made sure there was a decent balance there. So
yeah, lots of kitchen stuff.
Yeah. So, yes, we may possibly have a guest on next week.
I'm not a guest.
Stephen, he does, I don't know if you've seen him on Facebook. Well, they've got an amazing website as well called Permanent Culture Now. They post loads of great stuff on Facebook. Their website is an absolutely amazing resource. So I'll have to put the link up to them. Yeah, those guys do loads of great work in the community with schools and various groups and stuff. So it'll be quite an inspirational guy to get on. So, yes, as it stands at the minute, because I'm finding this guest thing a bit precarious. They're booked in, then they're not booked in, then you've got two booked in, then they've all gone. And, you know, it's a bit of one of those where guests are concerned. So, but I figure, like you say, Bob, it's organic, isn't it? So what's meant to happen happens. So.
Well, that's exactly right. That's the way I look at it. You can, you know, you just deal with what you can deal with. Otherwise, you're getting into what the stress situation of the corporate world, aren't you?
Yeah. And it affects your ability to communicate, doesn't it?
Yeah.
For sure. And then what's meant to come out doesn't come out. Something else comes out, and then it, you know.
Well, that happens with what we do anyway, doesn't it? What's meant to come out comes out.
Yeah, well, yes. But, yeah, you have to be, you have to be conscious in the first place to let go, and then not conscious enough to let go, if you know what I mean. Or you can tell it's coming to the end. I'm getting all philosophical now. I have to go and sit on my...
You are. And I've got three spinning stars that are telling me you're going to wind down now.
Yes, I am. So, I'm going to... So, remember, I opened the circle, so I'm going to close the permaculture circle again for this evening. I'm actually doing it now, live as we speak. I'm waving my wand around.
I'm going to come and look at your wand, because I know a lot about wands.
Do you? Well, I mean, you know, it's not gaudy or anything, Bob, but I like to think it's... attractively honed. I did whittle it myself, so.
Well, there's a real life mission for us just on that.
Yeah. Yes, I'll show you my wand one day, Bob.
I'm not right going then. To say the same. It might be misconstrued.
Oh, that's time. I don't know if we've gone now, but if we haven't gone... Good evening, everyone.
Things on Dark City Radio. Lots of things.